Well, it's an exciting day, especially if you're a basketball fan. Yeah, got two hands up over there. You're excited, eh? That's Josh, right? Yeah. So it is fun when your local team gets this far. If you are watching the game tonight and we do happen to win again, I find watching Kawhi Leonard especially interesting, not only because he's just really strong at basketball and really amazing, but if you're observing and you can make it out, he's got a tattoo of the cross on his arm. And I thought that was interesting. And when they won, I think, the big game where he got the buzzer beater in the last second, actually when time was out, but the ball was in the air, they were interviewing him afterward, and I appreciate that he recognized God for the success they had. So you don't hear that in every interview with a sports figure like that, but I appreciate that Kawhi Leonard recognizes God for what he can do. So it makes it even especially more enjoyable to watch stuff like that. So just a little bit of background that I noticed that was kind of a little bit different from normal. I thank you for inviting us out. It's always a pleasure to come back to OMA. And very nice of Harold and Sharon to always invite us over for dinner. That's a nice model of hospitality that is just a great example. I feel a little bad because I can't keep up with it. I can't imagine how you've been doing it all these years, and you don't just do it for us. You tell me to bring my father and Aunt Helen over. You know, if you wonder why am I referring to my father's wife as Aunt Helen, well, I'll just let you think about that for a while. It's kinda, I'll tell you that my cousin is also my stepbrother. And he talks about how he can just hear the banjos playing. So we're going to continue on with the study that we were doing in the Book of John during the adult class. And I'm going to continue on. I'll recap real quickly what we've done, just so if you weren't in the adult class, you won't feel that you're going to be lost the entire time. But I also recognize that you're familiar with the story of Lazarus. I like the story of Lazarus. It's one of the favorite chapters I get to teach when I teach the grade 12s, the Book of John at Great Lakes. But I like the story of Lazarus for a couple reasons. It's the turning point in the Book of John. The Book of John, up until the story of Lazarus, the event of the raising of Lazarus, you have about 3 years of Jesus' ministry occurring in that book, which actually covers about the first half of the book. I know this because I always switch classes when I'm halfway through and get the other half of grade 12s, and I know that the story of Lazarus is my demarcation point. That's when I know I'm halfway through my book of John. But interesting enough, you cover 3 years of Jesus' ministry in the first half, and then the second half of the book of John, it's like you're focusing in, like a microscope or a telescope. You're zooming right into the last 3 months of Jesus' life. That's where things really turn. And it's kind of like Jesus is teaching and he's getting questioned by the Jewish leaders all along in the 3 years of his ministry. But then when you get to the story of Lazarus or what Jesus did when he raised Lazarus, oh, now you've gone too far. And now things are going to start getting very serious for Jesus and how they treat him. And the book of John is really interesting because it continually shows you three different views. There's the aspect that's what did Jesus do, and then how did the disciples react, how did the people react, which would be the second view, how did the disciples react, how do some people react, some people believe, some people don't believe, but then how do the religious leaders react? And so you kind of see that on almost every one of the stories in the book of John. You see that kind of John is sharing that different viewpoints of Jesus and how they reacted to him. So that's kind of an interesting way that the book of John works. The other thing that's interesting about the story of Lazarus, or the resurrection of Lazarus, I shouldn't call it a story. It's not a story. It's an event. Did you know that it's only recorded in the Gospel of John? The raising of Lazarus is not recorded in the other three synoptic Gospels. And I think, wow, really? So I heard Michael Maslongo talking about that, and I went back and checked. It's not there. It's not in Matthew, it's not in Mark, and it's not in Luke. And there are other times when Jesus raises people from the dead, but the event with Lazarus is not recorded in the other Gospels. And, you know, you ask yourself, well, why? That's a pretty big story, you know, raising somebody from the dead, and then one of his friends. Like, there's Jesus healing, there's Jesus doing miracles with turning water to wine, there is healing people that are sick, causing the blind to see. That's all in all the Gospels and the book of John, but the story of Lazarus, the record of Lazarus, is only in the book of John. Well, why would that be? It's a big one. And why did the other Gospel writers leave it out? I'm not sure why they left it out, to be honest with you. But I know why John put it in. It has to do with John's purpose. And John states his purpose within his Gospel and says, I'm sharing these things that Jesus did so that you could believe that he's the Son of God, and in him, you, through belief in him, you'll have eternal life. Every one of the things that John records ties in with that purpose. And so I think there's some things in the resurrection of Lazarus that are unique, that help us with our belief in Jesus and understanding God's ability to win or to overcome the event of death, which is something that we'll all participate in. And so it's good for us to know that Jesus and God can easily manage death. So let's continue on with this. So we've talked about Jesus is told that Lazarus is sick. Jesus says, okay, well, that's nice, but I think I'm going to wait here for a couple days. He waits for a couple days. Lazarus dies. In fact, Jesus even knows he's going to die, and he waits 2 days. So he waits. And then he decides to go, some debate about whether they should go or not, because that area where Lazarus was, they were just there, and the Jewish leaders tried to kill him because of something he said. But they decide to go. Jesus says, no, we're going. And there's an interesting scripture, which we didn't talk about, where Jesus talks about there's only 12 hours of daylight, and I'm going to do God's will while I have daylight. That's earlier on in the chapter, verse 11, because you kind of wonder what he's talking about. But he's talking about how, yeah, I'm going to be putting myself in danger, but this is my time. This is my time to do God's will. And there's a little bit of a application of that to us, that maybe now is our time when we're on the earth to do God's will. That we don't procrastinate doing God's will, but we do it now because there's only 12 hours of daylight. And those that walk by darkness, Jesus said, stumble. That if you don't walk, light and darkness are a common theme in the book of John. And so Jesus is kind of talking about that. But I also think about how we use our time with God's kingdom in our time here when I think about that. So they're going back, and Jesus meets with Martha on the way, and there's a discussion, and Martha identifies what she believes about Jesus. And, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming to the world. But after she said that, she runs back and gets her sister Mary. And Mary drops everything and takes off to be where Jesus is now. So they're not at the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, but they've gone to meet Jesus on his way. And when Mary hears of this, she goes running after Jesus, and she wants to sit at his feet and talk with him. And she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. True statement. Jesus could have caused that illness to go away. But we talked about how Jesus purposely stayed away so that Lazarus could die, and as Jesus says, so that God can be glorified. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come along with her, because Mary ran out of the house to go see Jesus, they thought she was going to mourn at the tomb, and they're there to mourn with her. They're good Jews. I think Lazarus was a pretty public figure in that all these Jews were there to comfort Martha and Mary. But she's going to see Jesus. She's not going to the tomb. But she's weeping. When she sees Jesus, she starts weeping. And have you ever had that happen to you, that you're going to comfort someone you love because a person has passed away? And while you may not be as close to the person that passed away, your closeness with that individual, it touches your heart as to what they're going through. And before you know it, you find yourself crying because they're so devastated by what has happened also. They're mourning the death of a loved one. And, you know, we see the Jews also, they're weeping and crying. And Jesus is almost caught up with it. In fact, it says Jesus wept also. So it's quite the scene that you have the Jewish mourners with her, and you have Mary mourning and Jesus mourning at the same time. So when she says, if you'd only been here, you could have saved my brother. And he doesn't get into the big theological conversation that he did with Martha. I guess he's too moved emotionally. When he sees Mary, and he just simply says, where have they laid him? And she says, come and see. So now we're going to a third place. So we're going now to the tomb. And Jesus wept. And the Jewish people around him observe Jesus weeping also. And they say, see how he loved him. He loved Lazarus. Lazarus was a close friend. But then there's some Jews, this is John pointing out what different people are thinking, there's some Jews that said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? This almost sounds like the chiding that you hear when Jesus was on the cross. You know, if you were really God, you could take yourself down from the cross. You know, surely you've healed this blind man, you can heal people from being sick. Why couldn't you have come a little bit earlier and saved Lazarus? So again, you know, you have those that believe and those that still doubt. So let's move on to the actual resurrection. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across it. Sounds like the place where Jesus was buried, too, with a stone. And while we're looking at the comparisons to Jesus' death and burial and resurrection with the story of Lazarus, I like to think this event occurred to prepare his followers for what his resurrection, to prepare in their minds that, yeah, I'm going to tell you I'm going to come back from the dead. You're not going to believe me, but I will, and it's going to amaze you, but let's prepare you for my ability to overcome the grave. So I think that the event of raising of Lazarus is a precursor of what's going to happen in the very near future to Jesus himself. But Lord, Martha says, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been in there 4 days. And we talked about how 4 days, even in the Jewish world, you're really dead. Your spirit, they believe the spirit has left you. And we haven't been around dead people that have been dead for 4 days, because we sanitize that process with embalming or cremation. But in their world, in the hot sun of the Middle East, he would have smelled at this point, and it would have been bad. And she's like, you really don't want to have that stone rolled. Again, very similar to earlier, Jesus looks Martha in the eye and says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? She's like, hold on, don't roll that stone because it's going to smell bad. And Jesus says, Martha, didn't I tell you? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And that's again, a question we have to ask ourselves too. We need to believe so that we would see the glory of God. The word belief I mentioned in class, you see over and over in the book of John as being the key thing to seeing the glory of God, to having everlasting life through Jesus. You have to believe. There are other things we have to do, and I don't want to minimize baptism. Baptism is a form of acceptance of the grace of God, which we have as one of our practices that we feel is important, and I do also. But baptism without belief, I would submit, is just getting wet. That you have to believe. And we need to continue to nurture our belief that Jesus is the Son of God. And he said to Mary, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. I guess Martha's okay with it now. And Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you'll always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of people standing around here, that they may believe that you sent me. Interesting conversation with God. While Jesus is praying, a very casual conversation, he said, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. And by the way, I'm not really saying this to you. It sounds like I'm saying it to you, but I'm not. I'm saying it for the benefit of everybody else. It's kind of cool that Jesus is kind of teaching while he prays. And he's saying, I thank you that you listen to me, and I thank you that you've caused this event to happen, or you're going to empower me through your strength and your godliness to perform this miracle for the benefit of everybody around here, so that they can know who I really am. And I'm saying who I am. I'm talking in the first person like I'm Jesus, and maybe I shouldn't, so that we can believe who Jesus really is. And he thanks God for what's about to happen. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Okay, he does use a loud voice, but notice there's no abracadabra, there's no special words, there's no big moving truck that when the trucks move, you see the new house, and there's no rain dance, nothing like that. It's just very straightforward. Lazarus, come out. Imagine if you're Lazarus. And we talked about how the resurrection is very similar to something that we will all experience when we fall asleep in our death. I pray that the voice that we hear after we fall asleep in death is Jesus' voice. I pray that that experience is what Lazarus experienced, is what we experience, that we will hear the sound of Jesus calling our name, saying, Jim, wake up. Dawn, wake up. Helen, wake up. Come back to me. And this is, I wonder what Lazarus was thinking. Fortunately, when Jesus calls us, we're not being called back to this world. Because Lazarus may have been a lot happier where he was. In fact, I guarantee you, he was a lot happier where he was. Now we get into the whole time-space continuum thing. If you believe Lazarus experienced where he was in that amount of time, that 4 days, or is death similar to God, that 1,000 years is like a blink of the eye, and we don't experience time in the same way when we die, that when we pass away, the next thing we know is the resurrection of Jesus. So think about that a little bit, that when we die, we are immediately fast-forwarded to the next event with God. I'm not sure, I'm just speculating, but I like to think about these things, and I like to think that Lazarus fell asleep when he passed, and then he woke up immediately to Jesus calling him, and it's like, oh, I'm in this tomb. Oh, I've got these grave clothes on, and I imagine his legs were all bound up, and I imagine when he came out of the tomb, he kind of had to walk like a penguin because his legs are all bound. They didn't wrap him up for walking because normally dead people don't walk out of tombs. So, you know, and that's why Jesus says, take those off of him. He can't see. He can't walk right. His arms are probably all stuck to him. You know, like I just envision what it would be like. And it's not like like you see in movies with mummies where they're walking. You know, he's prepared for his eternal rest, his physical eternal rest. So Jesus says, take these clothes off of him. Okay, I've reached the end of my time. I want to encourage you to read the rest of chapter 11. It is amazing. I'm just going to touch on a few things. What do the Jewish leaders do now? They say, oh my goodness, the whole world is going to be following this guy. Look what he's done now. We're not getting anywhere. So what do? They have a church meeting. Isn't that great? Jesus raised someone from the grave, from being dead, and what do? We're going to have a church meeting. We're going to have a men's meeting. We're going to talk about this. How are we going to stop it? Oh, well, let's kill him. So they decide at that point they're going to kill him. And it says that in this section in chapter 11. These are church leaders. I pointed this out earlier. This is church leaders talking about the way to solve this is to kill them. So they're going to kill, and in another part it says they're going to kill Lazarus too because he's too much of a testimony about Jesus. So, like, talk about fighting against God. You've heard about moving the deck chairs on the Titanic. This is the same thing. Look, the thing is going to sink. It doesn't matter if you move the chairs around. God is raising people from the dead. And you're more concerned about the religion and the Romans getting upset with you. Whereas this is overcoming everything. This is bigger than the Romans. This is bigger than our Jewish religion that we're trying desperately to hang on to. Bigger than our Jewish jobs of leading the Sanhedrin. This is Jesus overcoming death. And God setting aside death. I'm so grateful that we've had a God that can overcome death, because that is an experience that we will all have unless Jesus comes to the earth before we pass. So that's why I like the story of Lazarus, because it clearly explains and identifies how powerful God is, how easy it is for him to set aside the experience of death, and all we have to do is believe in Jesus to see his glory. Now, don't get me wrong here. I do believe in the other concepts of what we need to do in belief, but key thing, though, is the belief that Jesus is the Son of God, and in him we have eternal life. So I like it that there's a gospel message within the resurrection of Lazarus, and we see the glory of God, which is why Jesus thanked God, so that we could see his glory through this message. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're thankful that Jesus came to the earth and demonstrated your power over death, and we're thankful that our life, there's more to it than just living on this earth, having our time on the earth, and that's it. But there's more to it than that, and that you have a plan to rescue us from death and for us to be with you eternally. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to continue to believe and grow closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray to you. Amen.